You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
You are listening to the Joe Rogan Experience Review Podcast. We find little nuggets, treasures, valuable pieces of gold in the Joe Rogan Experience Podcast and pass them on to you, perhaps expand a little bit. We are not associated with Joe Rogan in any way. Think of us as the Talking Dead to Joe's Walking Dead. Enjoy the show. Podcast.
You're listening to the Joe Rogan Experience Review.
What a bizarre thing we've created.
Now with your host, Adam Thorne.
This might either be the worst podcast or the best one
of
all time.
One, go. Enjoy the show.
This podcast is brought to you by DietSmoke.com. You know, my problem with edibles is sometimes you get so high, it can be difficult to control, you know, to get the right dose. There's nothing worse than being baked out of your mind when you didn't plan on it. And you know, once you eat it, there's no turning back. You sit there suffering, stoned out of your mind. That's why when I need a perfect medium high, I hit up my friends at Diet Smoke for their delicious Delta H THC gummies. Diet Smoke isn't light, it's just right. Delta 8 is simply a slightly less potent THC. So the THC you're probably used to is called Delta 9. And while both are natural to the cannabis plant, Diet Smoke extract their Delta 8 from hemp plants. So some may call this a loophole. I call it a secret recipe for getting a nice, smooth, stable, and most importantly, legal high. Diet Smoke is legal in most states. It's not prescription. Just check Diet Smoke's website to see if they ship their gummies to your state. When CBD isn't enough and traditional THC is too much, enjoy a smooth buzz of Diet Smoke. Go to DietSmoke.com and use promo code JRER for 20% off your order. That's JRER, DietSmoke.com. Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of the JRE Review. Joined as always by my sidekick, co-host, whatever, Garrett. How you doing, bud?
Yo, what's cracking?
That's a big yo. Big yo. I wanted to open up. I don't know if you guys are following Russell Brand on YouTube. Like, his YouTube channel is massive. We're talking like 4.5 million listeners, and he's kind of become like a news guy, but he's still funny. He's doing great reporting, man.
Dude, finally. There's like a handful of them, and he's definitely leading the pack, I'd say.
Yeah, it's weird how these comedians are becoming like the voice of reason. Like, it just...
He's so smart, too. Like, he has that whole background of... He knows psychology. He knows all kinds of things. It's interesting hearing his perspective, too, being a guy that used to be, like, totally into drugs and alcohol, and to see his path kind of unfold the way it has, and now he's an insightful speaker that's kind of speaking to the masses is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. He just highlighted this. I don't know if any of you guys saw, but... So the Parliament in England, right, our government out there in England, had a party over Christmas when they were telling, and now they've been really strictly locked down, like way more so than the US, even really in the most strict places in the US, which is like New York and California. The whole of England has been more strict than that for a longer period of time.
Really?
It's mostly how Europe is. Really, most of the world is more strict than how the US has been, and it's been annoying enough over here. But as far as I understand, it's like to hang out with your family like last Christmas, because they had like all these restrictions on who you could, where you could travel to and who you could meet up with. Like, people were straight up having to break the law. Maybe I'm wrong, so don't quote me on this, but I think this is how this worked when I was talking to members of my family. They had to like break the law to hang out on Christmas Day. Right? Yet the Parliament is having this massive party.
Wow.
They're just all hanging out, having a party right after they make these rules. And it's just so frustrating. It's like these government bodies have not done well for the, like, how much we trust them.
It's the Nancy Pelosi and Gavin Newsom story just on the other side of the water, huh?
Basically, is what it sounds like. I mean, not good, bro. Not cool. And it kind of also highlights, like, if this was as dangerous as everyone was saying, and, you know, it's a problem. People have died. I get it. Like, it is true. It's a problem. They were worried the hospitals could fill up. I get that. That's a legit concern that everyone believed. But people in Parliament don't want to get sick and die. So if it was really as bad as they're saying, and you got to cover up, wear masks, everyone stay apart, they would have stayed away from each other. They would have done it because they don't want to get sick. They're not like...
I mean, is...
Go on.
Go ahead.
No.
I was just going to say, is this that situation where it's... there's no science, man. I hate saying that, and I don't want to sound hippie, but the idea that you're going to shut down small restaurants and just pick and choose and think that that's going to be like, okay, we can't all get together for holidays. Like, you're just coming up with these asinine, they're just theories. They're not even factual scenarios. And the fact that we're basing our lives on these man-made prophecies of this virus spreading seems so fucking dumb.
Dude, you have to balance danger and threat, right?
Right.
With the importance of community and connection. It's like we can't do a Zoom Christmas. Like it,
right?
It doesn't work like that. It's not going to work. Right. But anyway, that's a bit of a tangent, but I just wanted to talk about it because I just thought that shit was crazy. All right, who we got this week? Right. We got Ted Nugent, Steven Pinker, and then Derek from More Plates, More Dates. And there was the guy of the ancient... civilization. Yeah, that was a pretty good one. We're not going to cover that one though, but it's interesting if you like that sort of
shout
ancient
civilization
shit. Yeah, it was really good. I liked how he kept calling Joe as well. It's hilarious. He's like, listen, Joe. I'm like, all right, dude. Now, Ted Nugent, I love his energy. I love the fact that he's like the quintessential, like, kind of American rock star forever, but he does get a little difficult to listen to sometimes. I remember that last time he was on, it's like, oh, he steamrolls. He gets worked up, bro.
he's used to being the center of attention all the time.
Yeah,
he's used to people listening
to everything that he says. I get it.
And to his credit, man, he's got some reasonable fucking points on a lot of things he says, even though he's so over the top. Like, it kind of is hard to argue with a lot of the things that he talks about.
Yeah, I wish he didn't talk about how the left was evil constantly. That seemed a bit silly. Like, come on. Like, that's half the people in the country. Like, relax a little bit.
Well, the right and left should be divisive so much, and it seems like a cop-out at this point to say you're so right or you're so left and you automatically have this agenda depending on who you are. That just is not realistic from my perspective. And that's the weird thing from both sides. Everybody demonizes the other side. It's like that's never going to be a functional way of discourse or a way to ever find a solution if the only thing is hate campaigns. You know what I mean?
It's true. That's true. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, you got to think. He's, like, at the forefront of, like, hunting rights and like, gun stuff. So you know, he's in a difficult spot to kind of stay somewhat balanced with. I mean, when you're that guy, it's probably he's getting a lot of, like, very angry people messaging him sometimes, I'm sure. So it's probably easy for him to just see everyone that disagrees with him as, like, pieces of shit.
All the same.
Yeah, imagine if you were getting a bunch of DMs all the time, like, saying you're the worst human that ever lived or whatever. You're not going to like whoever says that to you.
Yeah,
and then you're going to connect them with, like, that side of politics, I would assume. I don't know.
That's a good explanation.
Nobody DMs me, so it's fine. I don't have to worry about it.
I was going to say, I haven't gotten that yet, so I don't have any frame of reference.
Hopefully not. Ever.
That would be interesting because even if you don't want to, just your natural process is to hit that button, even if you're like, I know this isn't going to turn out well.
DMs, dude, you would be nosy. You know, even no Rogan, he says he never checks the comments. Dude, he looks sometimes. He probably gets high some days and he's like, I'm just going to have a look, and then regrets it, like massively regrets it.
I mean, as long as you can laugh at yourself, I think that's the idea of life. You know what I mean? If you can laugh at yourself and I mean, easier said than done sometimes when people are being critical, but I don't take myself too seriously anyway, so I mean, yeah, that's why shit rolls, but...
Fair enough. But we do appreciate the nice, happy, positive reviews, so if anyone wants to do those, they do make you feel better. They are nice.
They do that.
And the other ones, they do hurt a little bit, I gotta say.
And
then
like
sometimes
how
I agree. I'm like, yeah, we're idiots. Yeah, yeah. I get it. Makes sense.
He was talking about somebody trying to. He was talking about how they made that ATF. Remember
that story?
Oh,
dude, he got really worked up with it. That was almost. I'm like, oh my god, is he gonna punch Joe? Like, how angry is he right now? He was so worked up.
I wasn't watching it initially. I couldn't. I figured he had the guitar in there, but then I had to turn it on to see. I'm like, is he playing all these riffs just off the cuff? Like, it was insane, dude.
Dude,
he played Jimi
he's
Hendrix.
Definitely very good with that.
Oh, he's amazing. Yeah. I didn't realize he was that solid. Just to be able to pick it up and...
Well, I mean, to talk about his, like, rock career for a minute, like, he has been pretty fucking famous and on top since... In his own right, right? Like, he's not like a Rolling Stones, but, like, he's a big, well-known act. He's been doing this forever. Forever, bro. Dude, so long, it doesn't even make any sense. Imagine being a rock star that long. No wonder he doesn't drink or do drugs. He'd be dead.
He never did either. That's kind of...
Kind of wild. I'm like, bro, you became a rock star. You got to have at least a couple of years of like going completely off the rails. Like, please. He's like, no, I'd rather hunt.
I know. I think there's something to be said for that. I was thinking that in relation to hunters because they get this rap that they're... just savages and out there trying. That's what the left says is all for. I don't even know what the argument is at this point, but if you're going to eat factory farm food and then fucking criticize somebody for hunting, you're a fucking hypocrite, idiot, point blank. So no way around that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But.
Well, but what's cool? He has a son who's a vegan and he understands him and respects him. So to say he doesn't listen at all to other, like, you know that. Him and his son have like talked about this a lot.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, and then he brings up the point. This is always an argument that I don't know if I'd ever have with a vegan. I just feel like, well, I don't want to argue with anyone really anyway, but like the whole one where you say, well, it kills a lot of animals when you like grow grain or soy or whatever, and then you plow the fields. Like, that makes sense. That's why the birds are there. They're just eating, like, the dead mice and things like this. And I don't know. It probably is true, right? And it would be a good point. But the point just seems like they would just dismiss it so fast, it would get annoying to even bring up. Like, they would just say, well, you know, we're doing our best. And it's the point that we're trying to help and blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, well... I don't know. What do we do? Do we get data on, like, what is the mass of dead creature at the end of a field harvest? And if it's, like, 12 deer, then wouldn't killing 3 deer be better? But then they'd probably just say, well, we make a lot more food, though, that way. It's a lot more food.
Doesn't it sound like you could just interchange the details with this vaccine?
How do you mean?
With what you just said, like... pretty much every detail just associated in a different realm of all the things you just said. Wouldn't you rather kill 3 deer rather than 11 deer and just breaking it down like that kind of thought process? That's not the thought process. The thought process is we're trying. It's safe and effective. It's safe and effective.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
We're trying.
Yeah.
We're trying. It's like, what the fuck is trying, dude? No, you're not. First of all, second of all, stop with the power mongering. Stop with the fear mongering. Stop with the bullshit.
It's almost like when you hear about people that are really big into recycling, and John Oliver did the show on it, and they're like, dude, they don't recycle any of that shit half the time.
No.
So it's like they just.
You're
they
virtuous
do it.
For what? 5 minutes?
It's kind of virtue signaling, right? It's like not actually effective, but at least it sounds good and they're trying. I don't want to sound like I'm not into recycling. I am. It's a good idea, but.
I'm into anything that makes sense that helps everybody. I'm in for that on any of those occasions. But the idea that you just have this idea that it works, but you don't have any factual information, i.e. masks, we're just playing along for the placebo effect or for the eyes, for the optics, because that's what it seems like. We're doing all this stuff for show. Nobody actually believes in it. Case in point, the Parliament situation. Nobody fucking genuinely deep down is like, I think we're all past that at this point. Cause I mean, I don't want to say all, and I think we're all just ready to move the fuck on. And it's like, people are just hanging on like a cat on a goddamn Brad. Screen door.
Yeah. Right.
Like, just hanging there. Like, let me get it. It's like, get the fuck off
How
the
did
screen
we get
door,
here,
bro.
And I also need to get down on the ground.
God, move forward. Jesus.
Dude, remember when they were talking about that tick that you can get? So, like, Ooh. Ticks freak me out, dude, because you get Lyme's disease. And I worked security with a guy at the King's Head Pub in Santa Monica once that once had Lyme disease. And it does, like, things to your brain. Like, oh, it can. It really messes you up. Like, I used to talk to him, and he was a nice guy. Good security guy, too. Always took that job seriously. But would, like, say that he could, like, see angels or something. And supposedly, he worked there long enough to where people knew that he, like, knew him before he had this. And, like, he didn't talk like this. And he used to say some wacky stuff. Like, like that disease really threw him for a loop. Like, really made him sick. And it's so hard to cure. Because I think it's one of those things where it's not really, like, one thing. It's a bunch of, like, maybe weird parasites that they don't really know what's going on, so they just lump you in with, like, you have Lyme disease, but a lot of the cases are different, and it just takes you out. And then the one that they talked about, the what was it, the Lone Star disease or Lone Star,
yeah,
whatever, it makes you allergic to meat. Like, what?
It's like nature somehow controlling that. Yeah, I don't know what the explanation is for that.
Dude, that would be such a bummer. Like, such... but seriously, though, I'd lose so much weight if all I could eat was salad and fish. I could never keep my weight on.
I've had this conversation. This is going to sound like a... This might be better for Derek Plays Dates. But I think about the things about the protein powder. I will say that the beta-alanine prior to the working out, but... I don't know, man. I haven't really changed a whole lot of things in it. Even when I take the protein or I do the full cycle of Herbalife or I do the full cycle of whatever these supplements are, I can genuinely tell you there's not a whole lot of difference.
Yeah.
Like, I don't notice any difference. Really.
Well,
I can't tell you
what's Herbalife? Isn't that pyramid scheme that single
moms
are
into? Yeah, it is. And it was, but this one, I had this one lady like sponsor me at one time and I was like, trying to promote the personal training stuff, and she was like, maybe you could be a spokesperson for this. She's like, I'm just gonna give you a bunch of these products and then you can respond and tell me how you feel and this, that, and the other. So I was like strict on it, and I'll tell you, the 6 weeks or 2 months that I did it, I didn't see any difference. Like, you want to believe it, and I think that if you're taking it, you're like, are you getting this mindset,
bit of placebo effect.
I feel better, but I can tell you, and it sucks to say this because I took that Athletic Greens religiously every single day, and I think maybe it's a placebo, like at least I'm providing my body with these nutrients, whether or not I feel it. But I can't, there hasn't really been a product where I'm just so blown away by its effectiveness that I could ever like get behind it. You know what I mean? Do you have any products like that? Like, I'm, like I said, beta alanine, if that's what you want. I don't do that. I drink coffee majority of the time. I appreciate a good pre-workout, but it's not a necessity, you know?
Yeah. I guess we really should get back to this with the Derek one, to be honest, but I just have like a small amount of supplements that I take, which are like the standard, you know, D3, right. I think I take magnesium. I have zinc for when I'm sick. What else?
To bring that back around, as far as the meat conversation goes, I same kind of conversation. I don't know that I would really miss out on meat, and that's kind of what my girl always tries to push. Because when we go out, I'm still satisfied with the veggie burger or the whatever the fuck. I'm not that over the top on needing a certain kind of food. As long as it's good, I'm cool with it.
Yeah, but fair enough. And I think I'm that way. Like, I probably should... You know what's weird? Like, sometimes you do go out to eat and you're just like... If... Like, I never think of getting the veggie... Whatever the vegetarian thing is on the menu. And there's a lot of good stuff there. I was a vegetarian for the first 14 years of my life. Like, I like it. I don't know why I don't think of that more. I always just think, well, what's the meat I'm getting?
Yeah. It's like, interesting just how become your thought process... Like, yeah, it really has. That's just like, that's like when you think about those people when they go out to dinner. It's like, you know, if you've been your friend for a while and they're like Diet Coke or whatever, that one person that always orders the same drink every single time you go out. You're like, what if you just said water instead of Diet Coke?
Right. Well, dude, Diet Coke is garbage. Well, you shouldn't drink.
You've been saying Diet Coke since fucking you were 13 and haven't changed it. Now you're 37 saying Diet Coke every time you go out to Chili's. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
Switch it up.
Diet Coke and a hot dog. Shout out to TJ. Right. Yeah.
Nice little morning 9 a.m. snack.
Bless him. Yeah. I was fascinated, and I guess I'd never thought about this listening to that pod, but like when they were talking about how Les Paul invented the electric guitar, like 1945, right? Think about that. It's the end of the Second World War. Think of all the changes, the upheaval. Like, you think COVID is bad for us? Like, forget about it, bro. World War II was bad. That was probably a nightmare for people. But then think about it. Like, they said that a guitar was really like a kind of back-played instrument before that, and it would be. It's all acoustic. And now all of a sudden, you can just jam. I mean, you can't really do that with the drums. You can't make, like, I guess they had, like, synthesized electric drums in the 80s. That was a bit cheesy, but
you can sing with the guitar. You know, it has a voice of its own.
Of course, right? So now you have, like, badass solos. And they probably didn't bother with acoustic solos, like, kind of, but you're not going to be like Slash in Beat It with Michael Jackson with an acoustic guitar. It's just not going to work. But what a revolutionary event for, like, music. Like, it changed the game. Music 100%. Did kind of suck before people like Elvis, to be honest.
I don't even remember music really before Elvis.
Yeah, I mean, you know how we all got the end of the year Spotify thing? It's like what you listen to all year and blah, blah, blah. Also, I did, I think, I can't remember, like, was it 26,000 minutes of Joe Rogan podcast? I would like to know if anyone out there is listening, like, email us, like, link in the bio. I would love to see a screenshot of someone. Like where your minutes are, like how much you listened. I'm fascinated to like see how much people put in. But you know, you go through your Spotify thing, and almost no one is probably listening to music before like, I don't know, 1960, to be honest.
Right.
Maybe some classical hits.
Mm-hmm.
Throw in an electric guitar with that.
Yeah, I don't want to go back to the separation of the parties, but I wanted to kind of touch on a situation that was near and dear to my heart. We've talked about it, the circumstances and the situations that we have with people here kind of dictate our and facilitate some of our conversation on the podcast. And I happen to have a guy who was self-proclaimed Israeli Jew that was a business owner in Santa Monica. And this reminds me of the Ted Nugent thing, because it seems like it's so polarizing, but at the same time, people on such opposite ends of the spectrum initially have now somehow found their way together to, like, retaliate against the mob.
Right.
So he was just telling me he's lived in Venice for 23 years. He's like, shout out to him. He was part owner of Dogtown Coffee in Santa Monica. And he said, over the past year, I've watched everything just kind of crumble. And he said, I had to take my American flag. This is an Israeli Jew, like a refugee that's came over here and made a name for himself in probably one of the hardest markets to do so in Santa Monica. Like, talk about prime real estate and difficulty to probably set that up. And it's been a namesake forever at this point. But the fact that watching that crumble and hearing him talk about it, it's so weird that these policies have polarized some people so much, because now he's so right. He's like, I've always been liberal. But they've provided me with no other option. And he said it's like, he says it's either like communism or fucking revolt. It seems like
expand a little bit on what you were telling me about the flag thing that happened.
He said that he was approached by, like, he didn't want to necessarily say people like Antifa, but his place is right on Main Street there. So it's like right in the forefront of Santa Monica. So it's probably people walking up and down saying, probably, and I might be making assumptions, but rich white kids probably saying, fuck the United States. Like, the people that are probably not the people that are, you know what I mean? It's so weird who's standing up for these causes. It's like these probably more not entitled, but just that more resources and but are criticizing the system. You know what I mean?
It's, well, you're, like, yeah, it's not the actual saying, people. What you're saying is not the people that are really repressed.
No. It's like people speaking on their behalf, and they're like, don't fucking speak on my behalf. Like, that's, you know what I mean? I don't think that people really agree. It's like, you think you're doing something virtuous, but you're not.
So they wanted him to take his American flag down?
Yeah, the Jewish or Israeli guy who had the American flag because he appreciated freedom and everything that America stand for, he was forced to take it down by people, like, yelling at him and being harassed outside of his place. Long story short, I don't know all the details, but that was what he said. And he's like, at that point, he's like, I just don't appreciate it. And he said he's moving to South Dakota and this, that, and the other. And I'm just like, fuck, man, this is... I go, you know what I did say to him immediately? I was like, man, you need to put this on Instagram, because if people see stories like this, like a longtime business being shut down because of this nonsense, I would get on board with that. And I know a lot of people are just waiting for one person to be enough, to have enough balls to stand up when faced with adversity and make an example, you know?
Yeah.
It's not, you don't ever want to be the first guy, because then you got to take the brunt.
That's heartbreaking to hear. That is the American dream right there. Like, you know? He came over, like, set up in a great spot. That's a dope coffee spot, too.
That's what I'm saying, dude. I'm like, get on there and tell that story. And I think that you could have a documentary right there that a lot of people would get on board with. It wouldn't take a whole lot. You know what I mean? Like, shit, small business that was maintained by... whatever. I mean, it's just like these things need to be exposed. That's what needs to happen. And it seems like we have the ability to do so, even though they're trying to shadow ban people and stop them from speaking out. But the one avenue that we do have is such a far reach, as given the circumstances, that we need to start indulging ourselves in these problems and start making them.
It would be nice. They
provided us with no other option.
Like, it would be nice to support, like, people like that, right?
Absolutely, 100%.
That's a tough gig. They're working hard, and, you know, they provide a great service. And, okay, they're not McDonald's, so they don't have the backing of 9,000 other stores to where they can, you know, ride this, you know, wave this storm out. It doesn't work like that for them.
He's like, dude, we've done the outdoor dining, and he's like, that still they're trying to regulate that, and he's like... It's just a money grab at this point, and it's like everybody is judging everybody else. We've known this for the past year now, and the circles that we surround ourselves with, I don't think are buying into it. I don't know. I've said it millions of times at this point, but every one-on-one conversation I have with another person doesn't have the sentiment that is being portrayed.
Well, you know what?
As far as I'm concerned.
This is what actually, even though that ATF rant was like quite a lot to listen to, I'd never thought about it like that. When he was like, why do we need organizations like government police style, you know, crackdown? They have like basically armored vehicles to go smash into stuff to protect alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. Like, yeah, there's like a danger issue and there's some different things, but it's like, hold on a second. Why is that all the way necessary? Right. Like, what are you trying to do?
This is coming from a guy who doesn't drink or smoke, so it doesn't have an agenda out the gate either. So he's speaking on it from...
Well, he does like firearms.
Yeah, well, that's the one thing that is agreed. But the fact that those three things, he broke it all down. He's like, one's an architect or agricultural product, and then he said alcohol, and then guns. It's like the way he described it, people just coming up with random shit to put in like one little umbrella category and make somebody in charge of it.
Yeah, what stood out to me is when he said tyrants mean unarmed and helpless victims, and then they kind of talked about what's going on in Australia because they took their guns away. And it's like, sure. It's a fascinating thing. Like, definitely the countries with the least guns probably had the most control. And I don't want to be like, you know, I came from England, we had no guns over there. Like, I'm just like trying to observe and speak to what I see. But that kind of is an interesting thing. It's like the states had the most guns were the least lockdown. They're like, nah, we're not doing this shit.
What's the benefit from their perspective to not have guns? Is it just that there's going to be peace because there's no guns?
There was a massacre, like I think a school shooting or something in Australia, and that really upset everybody. And then they just basically said, hey, we're going to take the guns away. And I think a lot of people agreed right away because it really upset the country. And then, you know, over time, because Jim Jefferies has a great bit on it, which actually is still one of the funniest comedy bits ever. And it's about guns. And he's not, he's definitely not pro-gun. So he, and, you know, it's a good bit, though. From a comedy standpoint, it's very funny. Right. But yeah, after they, after that, they just kind of handed them back and they never got them back. And, you know, they don't have like the National Rifle Association, I think, over there. So there wasn't like big lobbyist groups that could like save that motion from going through. And, you know, the America has an interesting setup with all these different states. I mean, unless they just banned them all federally across the board, but they just, it's just going to be way harder to do it in this country. This podcast is brought to you by ExpressVPN. When do we decide to stop upholding free speech as a basic right? What's playing out right now in big tech companies and social media sites sets a dangerous precedent. Look, it doesn't matter what your politics are or who you voted for. Everyone should have the right to express themselves freely. Sadly, the big tech monopoly has instead opted for silencing tactics and censorship. To fight back against big tech's control of the internet, I use ExpressVPN. When you use ExpressVPN app on your phone or computer, you anonymize much of your online presence by hiding your IP address. That makes your activity more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. So, let's stop allowing big tech to revoke our rights of free speech. Why not revoke their rights to your data instead? Secure your internet with the VPN I trust for online protection. Visit expressvpn.com/JRER. That's expressvpn.com/JRER to get 3 extra months free with the link in the bio.
There's so many guns in this country that no way you could seek them all out unless you had like some magnetic drone that could go get all of them somehow.
You're right. Give them back. Give them. All right, let's jump over to Steven Pinker, who was, let's be fair, a little bit easier to listen to just for like his pace of communication.
What books has he written? I feel like I've read a book that he's written. I could just hear his voice.
Yeah, I think I've read some too. He's got, from what I understand, some great books that are worth checking out. And I'm gonna have to go back and see if I have any. I was looking at my bookshelf actually before we did this, but I didn't have any from him. Smart guy though. I like how he talks. Very interesting. Like, wrote a book about rationality, and it's like, I think we've lost a lot of our rational thinking. I think I have too. I'm probably less rational than I was, to be honest. I mean, I want to believe. I think we all want to believe that we're super rational, but shit's just got so weird. It's like, what is going on?
I think that as long as rationality is the goal, you're working in the right direction. So if you ever lose sight of having a bias one way or another before trying to approach rationality as the main goal, we got a fucking issue. That seems to be the politics of what's going on right now. If everybody was trying to reach out and find a rational reason for what's going on and how to make a rational decision on how to correct the fucking ship, maybe we'd all be moving in the right direction, right?
Yeah, but I mean, what does it mean? There's got to be some tenets of it, and I think about it with just regular discussions. You know, like, if you're gonna talk to somebody that has a different opinion, like, everyone needs to put down some ground rules. Like, number one, we don't need to raise our voice. We don't need to talk over each other. It should be podcast rules. Try not to talk over each other. Sit and let the other person speak and finish their point, and like, get to it that way. But you just get into it with people, and it's like, whether you get heated or they do, it's so much. Right. It's just so much energy that you're just like, okay, no one's persuading anyone right now. And it just makes you like further away. You just drive down even harder into your position, and it just destroys rationality.
It's that whole attachment to ideas, because if your approach is always rational, then you don't have a bias prior to or an attachment to an idea. You're willing to hear out the other person's.
Yeah, that's the hope. But we all need to be reminded constantly. I mean, I don't know about you. Like, I do. I need to constantly remind myself because it's so easy to do that.
And to be honest with you, we've said this too. If the amount of, and Jocko, he talked about it on his. He's like, whenever you admit fault or you have the ability to like self-reflect, people appreciate that. They don't demonize that. They appreciate you saying, "Oh, you're right. Let's do that. That makes more sense."
Yeah, but we've moved away from it because the politicians like teach us on live TV and every announcement, never admit that you did anything wrong ever and just gloss over it and push through. But there isn't a benefit. I don't know why they think there is. It's like, we trust you less, bro. You're like my one friend that lies a lot. I don't trust you now.
Just say we tried this, it didn't work. We're trying this.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, I'm okay with that, to be honest.
It's
better. I feel like that's something, it's something I can get behind. It's something I can appreciate. It's something that is a human fucking attribute that shows some character, like, that is willing to say, maybe I didn't do it right this time. I'm gonna fucking try and figure out the next time. Right. I will say it's interesting. He's being a scientist, I guess, and I don't know how many conspiracy theories you think you're part of or whatnot and are willing to believe, but it's interesting hearing coming from a scientist. He has to like basically blanket statement he doesn't believe in any conspiracy theories. So it's like, when you don't do that, that's a weird thing too, if we're going to consider rationale. I thought that when he was saying it, because it was almost like, you don't have to believe, but if you're going to explore the facts, I mean, case in point, the Epstein case, where he tried to break down, he's like, yeah, but then Joe's like, no. He's like, the way he choked out was not physically possible to choke himself. And he was like, maybe there is something there. But he still had to like err on the side of science to say that, no, that couldn't have been a fucking option.
Yeah, it's almost like if you make the statement, I don't believe in any conspiracy theories, you're almost putting yourself in a position where you won't allow your thoughts to even question something that sounds odd.
Right.
And so that's probably not good.
That's what I thought when he said that. I thought that I appreciate the science of everything, but at the same time, it's worth hearing things through. Yeah. You know?
He is right, though. Most of them are bullshit, and you got to be real careful which road you go down before you're a QAnoner or a flat earther or thinking there's a people around.
I mean, when I think conspiracy theories, I think that I'm open-minded to them, but the only one that I give any opportunity to is, I mean, I think COVID's a conspiracy at some point, at this point. Not necessarily that it's not a real thing, but I think that there's aspects of what's gone on that are definitely proprietary blends of conspiracy.
Yeah, the control elements of the control factor have always been my issue with it, for sure.
Right. So you can call it what you want to call it. You can call it what you want to call it and label it this, that, and the other, but at the end of the day, there's some fishy shit that's been going on.
When I go to England, so I have to get, I think my Johnson & Johnson is good that I took, so that's okay. They do allow that. They don't require a different one, which is good. I didn't want to have to take another one. Then I have to get a test before I go, 2 days, 48 hours. Then when I get there, I have to take a PCR test 48 hours after. Then I have to fill out this form, which I think says where I'm going to be the whole time. It's like a travel log. I'm pretty sure. I haven't looked at it fully, but I'm like, hold on a second. Like, wait, what do I have to do? Like, shouldn't I be able to just go home and see my friends and family and not have to, like, I think my whereabouts is my business a little bit.
Well,
right?
I think I mentioned to my buddy about this situation, and he was like, oh, well, if he was vaccinated, it'd be that much easier. I go, he is vaccinated. So it's like, what in the fuck is going on? You've already complied, and now you're still facing this bullshit.
Yeah, like a bunch of it.
Like a bunch of shit.
And you're like, hey, this is my vacation. That's my point. Can you leave me alone, point. Please?
So you'd literally be going through the same shit I'd be going through. Or they wouldn't even let you go there if you didn't have the vax. Is that the case?
No, you can't get in. You can't get just in without to that, vaccine.
What, do we know the areas where you can't do that? Is that specific to Europe, or is there other places that
are? Dude, I'm pretty sure that you can't fly to any other country in the world without a vaccine, as far as I know. Maybe Canada? I don't know if they require it. I think they do. It's like America is actually, like a bit looser. But if you're not American and you fly to the US, I think they do require the vaccine for you to fly here. So it's just countrywide right now. I mean, every country. It's worldwide. Like, you just got to have it. If you want to leave the country.
If you had an open ticket to go anywhere in the U.S. or Europe or anywhere to set up shop for the next 5 years, where would you go?
Oh, I'd like to go to like a cool villa in Italy, I think, and like learn Italian make pizza.
I appreciate your eat, pray, love moment, but.
Son of a bitch. Now I regret saying all of that.
But I want to just reflect on Italy. I thought Italy was super fucked. I'm thinking from you got to factor everything in. Like,
oh, you're talking standpoint. Like, where would I go to get some freedom?
Well, where would you go to be optimistically happy, and where would you find that? Because I'm trying to think. I mentioned the situation. My living situation will figure itself out. But
yeah, keep talking. I gotta urinate.
Well, I was talking to Todd, and it's like this rent situation here. It's like you're paying $3,000 to live on the beach. And Todd was like, you know what you could get in South Florida? You could get for $3,000, you could have a fucking 4-bedroom house on the canal. And I'm like, well, that's a thick piss. Yeah. Anyhow.
In the middle of this, it's gonna be a fucking editing nightmare if we take a pause. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, live by the canal, bro. That's a great spot in Venice to live in. Well, I would love to live over there. There's everything.
I do live right by there. But he was talking about if I wanted to spend $3,000 in Florida, I could probably have my own house.
Wait. Are you talking to me now and you're not by your computer? This is not how you record. But okay, you're right there. Good. Sometimes, bro, with you, I just don't know. If you're not clanging around and making a lot of noise. I apologize, guys. Thanks for sticking with us and listening through all of the chaos.
Anyhow. Yeah, as far as that's what I'll ask you that question again from a COVID / freedom / happiness / weather. Because I keep thinking about that now. Maybe this is an opportunity for me to switch up my living situation and evaluate where else I could go, or even a different country, or just anything.
Yeah, I think I did it though. That Bozeman for me was that. Like, I don't know if it's forever or for whatever, but I really did search out, and you know this. Like, I had a great spot in Santa Monica. I loved it. You know, I loved it there. I really enjoyed my home and my life, but it just felt like I needed to go somewhere else. And I kind of did try to seek out the most open and, you know, available places. I was in Nashville for a while, and I was like, this place is pretty open. This is good. But they started to close that down. They closed Broadway down. I was like, I don't know if they're going to be able to close this place too. And then that was it. I heard the Bozeman was like, it's open, and it's like Montana life. It's just, it's different. And it kind of, I mean, it was a bit separated. Like, you would go into places, maybe if you went to a restaurant that had a bar, the bar area would be closed. The seating was limited. But, I mean, mostly it was open. And they weren't super strict with masks all the time. And they didn't have problems as well. So they did the right thing up here. And I think there's just like an energy here that allows for that. So I don't know, bro. I think that I'm already at the place that I would go to.
That's why part of me feels like I'm like fighting to stay in California, especially given the circumstances now. Like,
don't ask my opinion, bro. I'll say get the fuck out of there all day long. You know that. But you do you.
I mean, I'm a beach boy, but I hear you.
Yeah, you beach boy. Island boy. Full on island boy. Yeah, I mean, you know, and I think Steven Pinker like touched on a lot of this kind of squirrely energy that is going on as well. I mean, even getting into, what did he talk about? He was saying he had this like, motivated reasoning. right? To support idea, even if it's irrational. So people have that. And even very intelligent people can have that. And I wonder if there's like a strategy to figure out if you're doing that motivated reasoning thing. It's like, I feel like if you get heated about an issue when you're talking to someone, you probably need to reassess your position.
Right.
Just in case you're getting a little bit too excited about like what you're thinking. And possibly being biased or not thinking it through. Like something like that.
To further that point, I think he was touching on the fact of how what were they talking about? Testimony, and whenever they interrogate somebody and they tell them this is what you saw, is just like they kind of paint them into the scenario. Remember when they're talking about that? Eyewitness testimony is so fucking wishy-washy because they can say things and are like psychologically trained in ways that they can kind of formulate your thoughts.
Yeah, like change your own memories by asking you questions.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe that kind of alludes to how they kind of do this like mind control with people, you know?
Yeah, or
I don't know.
People just lie anyway. I had a court case once, which you know about, and in it, the person described my actions in a way that I 100% remember them doing, which is the weirdest thing. The way that they described what I was doing was what I saw them do, which was the total opposite. Like they, and it's just like, it makes you almost think, wait a minute, did I remember that wrong? Like, I think I'm telling the truth.
No. That's the thing. That's the thing about video. It's like you could think something the whole day long, but a video comes up and you're just, oh, I did do that. Or if you have a message or something, that's why it's like a timestamp in history.
Yeah, dude. Imagine recording like your whole day and then having to go back and rethink your day, but then you can also watch your day and you're like, oh, that didn't line up at all.
Shit.
I thought it was way different than that.
He said the average human lies twice a day without knowing.
Hmm. I wonder what my lies were today then.
Or without intention, you know?
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Like an accidental lie.
Right. Which seems pretty fucking feasible, like if you're being honest. Like not intentionally, because somebody's like, I know you said that, or I know they said that, and then you go check the reference and it doesn't say that. And you say, okay, well then you just are the boy who cried wolf, so now you don't get to say that again, motherfucker.
Right. We probably did it already on this podcast.
Right.
Just so you know, we're sorry. It wasn't intentional. I'm trying not to. I really am. What did you think of the last bit that they talked about? So Pinker is often saying that this is the best time to be alive. And he gets a lot of criticism for it because people are like, it's bullshit. It's racist. It's all fucked up. And I'm like, look, I get it. There's some weird stuff going on and things seem like a mess. But it definitely is better than it has been. Maybe COVID wasn't great, but like, we're still like old people are living a long time. Like,
you're not trapping beavers, bud. You're not trapping beavers.
Yeah, we're not trappers.
Shut the fuck up.
That's a tough job. Shout out to all those trappers out there. That is not easy. Not easy in the cold.
Not at all.
It's like, why would he get hate for it? What a waste of time. Like, if you're that angry, but definitely complain to someone else. This guy is doing his best.
Here's the thing. When you have the platform that these guys have, it's probably these Russian bots, man. Like, I don't know the actual individuals, but it seems like it's like they just have to have the blowback.
Yeah.
You know, that would justify a lot more things now that I've had that insight to that possibility. Now I'm just going to chalk it up to, bots.
It's bots. Everything's bots. It's just like one giant AI in a super smart computer just trolling every human that exists and freaking us out because it thinks it's funny.
I mean, just tell me the joke. I'm down to laugh. I would appreciate that understanding.
Yeah. I don't know.
that would make a little bit more sense on some of these things.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, let's jump over to Derek and the plates and the dates.
This podcast is brought to you by Nin Nicotine Pouches. Nin is a cutting-edge synthetic nicotine pouch brand that's setting the new standard for nicotine pouches in the US with its lineup of zero tobacco nicotine pouches. I use nicotine pouches. I like them. Nin's products are great. I've tried every flavor they have. Citrus, chill, cinnamon, cool mint, spearmint, wintergreen. They become in 3 milligrams, 6 milligrams. And what they're doing over at Nin is taking people beyond the tobacco leaf. The inevitable conclusion is a complete removal of all harmful components of the tobacco plant. After trying basically all the nicotine pouches on the market, I have to say Nin really are my favorite. And that's not just because they sponsor me. It's for real. They're great. Go to ninpouches.com. That's N-I-I-N pouches.com. And use promo code JRER25 to get 25% off your order. This guy is interesting. I knew of him, I think, after Rogan referenced something about him checking out John Jones and his PD. It was a PD, right. Pico levels of like some thing.
Test and stuff.
Yeah. I really liked that guy. I thought that he's cool. I would like him to come on again. I think he has a lot of interesting shit to continue adding. I felt like their conversation was really good. Like they're like equally as meat-heady, but right. Also, you know, well, they're trying to fact stuff and fact check it and learn and like get good at what they're doing. I like his style. Totally. I have to say he's a big YouTuber, millions of subscribers. And he did seem smart. Like, yeah, you could be like, oh, he's not a doctor, don't listen, but it sounds like he's putting a lot of work into understanding what he's talking about.
He sought all this information out himself. Like, he just sought it out. There was no other motivation. He just started doing research, and somebody's like, you should go ahead and make a show about that. And he's like, okay.
Yeah, I like the way he talked about the pod. Like, it just developed on its own. It wasn't really like this master plan. He didn't go, oh, I know a way to make a load of money. He just was interested and did it. And that's a cool thing about, you know, being able to, I don't know, pay your bills doing a YouTube channel. Like, good for those guys. That's cool.
I respect that.
Yeah.
I respect that. I kind of envy it a little bit at this point. Not envy, but appreciate it and think it's a possibility. But yeah, I agree. You see how much impact it has, because when people are seeking that stuff out, he knows a lot about the science behind steroids, behind tests, behind GHB, I'm sorry, or I don't know if that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, GHB. GHB.
It sounded like he had like quite the frame of reference on quite a few of these things that maybe you don't have. I went and sought out a few of his shows and watched a few minutes and a few clips, and he knows what he's talking about.
it seems like it, and it's kind of one of those things that there's such a stigma around the idea of like steroids or like taking test, even as like I think both of them do, Joe and Derek. But it's like, hey, he's not out to kill himself doing this, right? And people have done it. They've taken so much that it's been real bad. And he's like kind of plowing the way to like find the balance between like doing enough to be able to be big and healthy, but also not put your heart or your other organs at massive strain. And that's important information. I mean, if there is a real benefit from this stuff, like it's not just to get massive, but it's like maybe feel good, stay acting younger, like having more energy, having good workouts, but not hurting yourself. Wouldn't you want smart people to figure that out?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Otherwise, you know, we're back to the 90s and before where you just meet the biggest meathead in your gym and you're like, hey, bro, what do you take? And he gives you some, you know, Afghan steroid that has a picture of a cow on the picture that's like a massive bull that's jacked, and he's like, yeah, just inject like 5 mils into you, and you're like, clearly this guy is not a doctor, this is a bad way to take this advice.
Is this a personal experience?
Well, it sounds like I have a lot of information about it, so you decide for yourself. But yeah, I mean,
you're over here taking bull steroids. Nice.
It's been wild out there in those gyms. You got to be real careful.
I guess I got to tell you, I'm it's almost like hunting. I was almost so much against it for so long. It kind of falls in that category now for me. I've tried so many other things, and if you're willing to try a vaccine, why not try some fucking steroids at this point? But I never have, and it's been nice to be able to say that. But at the same time, it's like you've taken, I don't know what a good dichotomy or a good metaphor for that is, but there's been a lot of things that I've also put in my body thinking, I was touching on that earlier, thinking that they were like benefiting me, but I don't know if they really were.
Well, I'm sure steroids are better for you than a lot of cocaine, I would imagine.
Yeah, I would think, potentially.
Yeah, yeah, you would think so.
I've heard things about steroids that it promotes growth of everything. So if you even have a small amount of cancer, I don't know if this is fact, but this is kind of loose fact, that it promotes the growth of that cancer even quicker, just like it would your muscles.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know enough about it either. I mean, there's probably some of that. Like, think about it. You heal quicker from injuries.
Right.
So you would imagine that there's like quicker cell division, and the faster or more your cells divide, the more likely they are to have a mutation. And, you know, I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there, but like that seems logical. But at the same time, right, you can also balance like, okay, so the carcinogenic effect goes up X amount of percent. But also my body works and I have a bunch of energy and I can move and run around and maybe I can adjust in other ways. Like maybe you could say to yourself, I'm sure that if you drink a lot, that quitting drinking and then starting steroids might be a more beneficial event. So you could make up for it in other areas. I'm not trying to encourage anyone to do steroids. I'm just saying that, like, you know, people have bad habits in a lot of ways. Like people eat fucking fast food. Quit fast food. And then pick up a
start steroids.
Other bad. No, I'm just saying, right? It's a balance. All right, I settled that wrong. Forget that. Kid's gonna email me and be like, "Yeah, I quit McDonald's and now I do steroids." I'm like, sorry, I don't know.
Get it from your doctor, not Pfizer or Moderna, and don't get the bull one, and maybe we'll roll the dice on that. Might be better.
Who knows, bro? Maybe Pfizer and Moderna make the best steroids. I don't know what they're all making. They might have some good stuff.
They probably make the best cocaine. That's for damn sure.
They got the guys that could. No doubt. No doubt.
It was funny hearing him talk about the dating website situation that he made. I never heard that fact. He said that the vast majority of people on the dating websites aren't, I don't want to use the word successful, but aren't developing relationships. He's like, there's like 5 to 10% that are taking all the.
Oh, yeah. He said with males, it's 4% of the men get 90% of the women. So right. Then there's 96% of men fighting over 10% of the women. And that poor 10% of those women, those poor. Like,
they
got a lot of choice. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that, like,
they got 96% of the options here.
Yeah. But that's a lot for them to, like, work through, too. Like, who knows, man?
Yes.
Those dating apps are, like, that's a slippery slope in itself. I mean, it can be fun for a while, but yeah, you got to be real careful on those things. I'm always impressed when I hear someone that's like, I never use them. I just, like, date. Normally, I'm like, wow.
You find out 2 hours later that they just deleted it that day.
Yeah, no doubt.
Let's not fuck around. Even if you're not trying to do it, just from an ego standpoint, from a fucking ego boost, somewhere along the line, I was listening to Jordan Peterson talk about it a couple of nights ago about how it has affected relationships so much to have so many options and so many whatever the fuck. I think it's all what you put out. It's all what you want. So you're going to get back.
It's probably made people more picky and less willing to like work hard to make a relationship work. Because you've got so many options and it's like a click of a button.
I think that from a female standpoint, that must be like, I mean, I guess it's probably got the same issue for both sides, but it's like.
Kinda, but I'm sure women, like, if you take an equally attractive female to whatever you are, they're matching with probably, I don't know, 10 times as many people as you are.
Everybody. And then you had to, like, kind of thumb through, and then you're like, oh, this guy sucks. I could do, like, six in a day.
You're right. You know, and they can do it anonymously. So they don't get those labels like, oh, this this person is loose and like, you know, which has never really been fair for women. Like, guys will could bang a bunch of chicks and then their friends are like, oh, this guy's a stud. But no, I don't think any girls are like, oh, you wouldn't believe how many women, like guys I slept with this week. Like, they're keeping it quiet.
Yeah. And I think that was a thing back in the day. I think that that's kind of shifted a little bit. I think that this like women empowerment thing kind of maybe they're not talking about it as crudely, but I think that I don't think it's as soft.
Yeah,
as we
dude, I don't judge someone. I wouldn't start dating someone and think, wait, I'm gonna ask him how many people they. I'm like, I hope you had a lot of fun, right, and had a great time before I got here. And I'm just happy to spend time with you.
And, that's the appropriate approach. As long as you approach a relationship from that perspective, you can't really lose, I don't think.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to judge people on past experience, fuck. I got a rap sheet.
Yeah, it's not fair, right? Because exactly, you have your own history, and that's, it's not cool to do that. It's not cool. Let's go back to the Mr. Olympia thing he was talking about. Like, those guys, how jacked they get, how massive. And it's interesting, like, Ronnie Coleman had multiple, what do you say, like 10 back surgeries, can barely move. And then, it's like, oh, who was the British guy that was, Dorian Yates. Jake. Yeah, that guy's great.
Yeah.
He's great. But yeah, he's like not about it now. It's just not a sustainable thing. It's like so massive that you just get destroyed.
You get one fucking meat curtain and the amount of weight you put on that meat curtain is kind of, dictates your comfortability in life.
Dude, those guys get so massive.
Like, just I'm thinking about like little tasks, like sitting in a car or sitting on the toilet or getting in a shower. Those tasks are completely magnified whenever your fucking traps are popping out of the sides of your shoulders.
How do they even get clothes? Like, and think about how much they have to eat. Like, they must constantly think about food. And those workouts are brutal for them too. Brutal.
Your body becomes an actual machine. Like, I feel like mine is to some extent, but that's literally what they're thinking about.
Yeah.
Intake, export, and
dude, it's more like a pharmaceutical chemistry experiment. Like, let's.
I don't want to talk about their excrement, but I cannot even fathom what's going on in that situation.
Giant shits, guaranteed.
Just elephant shits.
Yeah, they need like a garbage disposal in the toilet, just because
They don't make them big enough.
You gotta wonder. I mean, I guess women are attracted to it because it's like looks strong and it's massive. But also, I wonder if they're just like, wait, what is this? Like, it doesn't look like a human being almost anymore.
Right.
Right? They get so big, you're like, that's not
They were talking about how skinny those some anorexic chicks were and how that one, like, lizard guy fucked his whole face up and did all that stuff, too.
Oh, yeah.
With all those surgeries. That was pretty interesting.
Yeah, crazy. I feel real bad for people that have anorexia. As far as I know, it's like the... You know, it is a mental disorder. Like, you know, I'm not trying to like talk shit about these poor people that have this happen to them, but for whatever reason, I've heard it's the one that has, it's the most fatal of all like mental disorders because, you know, it's not just about like take someone with like schizophrenia and maybe they're a danger to themselves or others or people that cut themselves, like. A lot of people die from being anorexic, and it's they don't turn it around, and I feel awful for them. Like, that's just terrible.
Because it's like a physical representation of what your mind's thinking. There's no way to hide it.
Yeah, you get malnourished in every area. You're like a concentration camp victim, but like you're not in a camp, and it's just and people around you like are caring for you and they want to help you, and you just don't want to eat, I guess, and you know, your bones get weak, and it's not just that they are losing a lot of weight, it's like their hormones will get fucked up, like a lot of things get out of whack. It's, you know, as bad or if not worse than becoming like morbidly obese,
right?
Like it has like a similar process,
right?
Yeah, it must just be
I don't know.
It seems like it fits.
I don't know many anorexic people. I know one, I think, at the moment. And it's tough for me to, you know, I reach out to that person a lot and try and just tell them good things. They're a friend of mine. I've known him a while. But I don't know. I'm not qualified to do it. I worry about him.
I wonder how many male
anorexics?
Male anorexics there are, I'm thinking about.
Probably a very small percentage. Like, there's way more men that have that big erexia, which is, you know,
that's what I'm saying. Does it fit in the same category, the desire to be a fucking Rich Pinea? Did you know who that guy was? Have you ever heard about him? He passed away, but he's just a fucking roid monkey.
Oh, no. Did they talk about him?
Yeah, he used to walk around with a... This was one thing that I do appreciate, that he would walk around with a water jug, and his whole company was like 5%, because like only 5% care about their health in the way that he did. He was doing Synthenol and doing a bunch of wild other shit, but you think that about like people that have anorexia in comparison to people that may have the desire to want to be a fucking monster, it might have a similar kind of mental deal, you know?
Yeah, it's like obsession with your body, right? They talked about plastic surgery too, and like people that get a lot of work done, and it's a slippery slope. It's like, I've got no issue with plastic surgery if you like got a burn, like you're a burn victim, or you've had like an abnormality, or like, I get it all. And even if you want to have your breast done or like do some things, like maybe fix your nose, it's all cool with me. But when people go down the rabbit hole of like changing the whole way of looking, I just don't think that they feel that much better. I think that you're just going to get stuck in a cycle of waiting for the next surgery. Right.
I think that's probably accurate. I will say that whenever they're talking about the veneers and whatnot, I've brought that up to my girl and thought about it. Not that it's a self-conscious thing, and part of me is like, these are like part of your character. Like, this whole body is part of your character. Just sort of like fuck with any of it is kind of.
Yeah, but think about it. It's like we work out to look better. It's okay to want to look better. Right. It's probably just not okay to like obsess about it continuously.
I think what you said about it's a slippery slope. Once you get that first surgery, you're like, all right, well, now what else? How can I put a spoiler on the back of the car?
Mm.
I wonder if that's how the process of thoughts keeps going down. You're like, all right, well, I did this. I remodeled this. I might as well remodel that. I might as well redo that.
Yeah, it's like getting a giant spoiler on the back of like a crappy Honda Civic, and you're like, what are you doing? Like, mm-hmm. This whole thing is a mess. Like, mm-hmm. No one's impressed by this. Stop it.
Right. Exactly.
Stop it. Well, anyway, let's wrap it up for this week. We went over an hour. A bit longer than usual. I guess we enjoyed these. I liked this week. It was a good week of pods, for sure. Thanks, as always, guys, for listening and sticking around and... yeah, we couldn't appreciate you guys more. And thank you,
Garrett. We love you guys. Peace and love, baby.
Later. Talk to you next week.